TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Kara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bottle boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. Until the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host...
Here, kitty. Yeah, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Happy New Year! Welcome to Pop Goes the Rack, our New Year spectacular. Wherever you are, I hope you're having a safe, fun, and healthy New Year. I'm your host, Lindsay. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash handyman, slash co-host, slash party coordinator, Sir Rockin.
Party coordinator? Okay.
You're the party coordinator this week.
Well, technically I am, so hi, everybody.
Yeah, you technically are, so, you know, it fits.
It fits. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Word, and send us comments whenever you listen to the show if you feel like it. A reminder, we are back live, L-I-V-E, next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airways on the Wild Talk Radio Network, on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and as she mentioned at the top, worked on it.
Yes, but we have a lot to get into in this last of our holiday specials.
Yes, after
it's
this,
the last one, right?
No more holiday specials unless we do something for Martin Luther King Day, but that's on a Monday, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we're not off. You know, we might do a special Rapo show, but... You know, we're no more specials on a Thursday for a while, thank goodness. So we are, like you said, back live next week. But we have a lot to get into on this last of our holiday specials. And I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net and PWMania.com and TNAAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And while we don't have a ton of news this week, thank goodness, we do have some, and I think the biggest news is that it came out that Rock's namesake, The Rock, the actual Rock, Dwayne Johnson, will be returning to this year's WrestleMania in Dallas.
I'm going to first say this, finally, you got to have it with a bass and all that fun stuff. I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see him come back. He's promising to do something really, really special, whatever that is. Who knows? And Tweet of the Week will break down this tweet and basically says he wants to do a few things, including set an all-time attendance record and make WrestleMania history. Is that a match? Is that a segment of some sort? To me, it seems like he's really jazzed up about this.
Oh, he's super jazzed up about it, no question, but I have to wonder what he's up to.
It does.
Is it a match? Is it just an appearance? I mean, as we know, last year, he mixed it up with Ronda Rousey, Triple H, and Stephanie, and, well, you know, we know Ronda's not going to be there this year, so we have to wonder what Mr. Johnson is up to this year.
Could it be, if it's a match, all right, let's start with the match first, all right? It could either be Triple H versus The Rock, which has been the talked about match. You could have Vince in his corner and, you know, Stephanie in Hunter's corner, and it's a battle of whatever. You could just do them straight up and have them tear the house down because it's Rock and Triple H, and the build-up would be pretty good if the Rock can work the build-up. Go with that scenario, right? Or I throw a different one. What do you think of Kevin Owens versus the Rock?
I'd be in for that.
Because they're friendly. You see it on Twitter. They're very friendly.
Oh, they're friendly, and we could have some spectacular promo battles between those two.
But it would be awesome. But what I really like is, last year was a surprise. We didn't think, only within 24 hours, right before WrestleMania, was like, hey, is The Rock showing up? No, he ain't gonna show up. He just did Saturday Night Live. He's not gonna fly across cross country. He's at WrestleMania. Holy crap, he's with Ronda Rousey. And we'll break that down more in a bit. When we talk about the best moments of the year.
But yeah, at least...
I like how this is announced, and he's excited to do something, and they have a plan, whatever it may be.
Well, I think I would suspect that originally it was probably supposed to be a surprise at some point that he was showing up, but at this point, given the fact the general lack of talent that they have because a lot of people are hurt, that they need to make that big marquee announcement for WrestleMania to get the buzz going for it, because we are getting ready to go into WrestleMania season once the Rumble's done. So I think that is to help get the buzz going, obviously, to get everybody excited for it, and also to get people talking, because that's the whole point of it, is, oh my god, what's The Rock gonna do?
And the amount of press he got off of just one 15-second Instagram video and post, they got coverage on USA Today, E! Entertainment Weekly, Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports, etc., etc., etc. It's been all over. He got the press they wanted. He got the press he needed. He's working out his schedule to do things, whether it's on the road to WrestleMania or whatever. He's working this into his schedule. And when he works things into his schedule, it's best for business. And I know there's a lot of people who hate that The Rock's come back and yada, yada, yada. But it's The Rock. He's entertaining. Do you want to see 20 more minutes of Sheamus, or would you take 20 minutes of The Rock? I would take 20 minutes of The Rock. That's me personally.
I'm kind of in for that, although Sheamus kind of has a special place in my heart right now, because he's just like owning it and having so much fun with it.
Take another name, but you got the point.
Yeah, I totally got your point. You know, it's who would you rather see, Sheamus or The Rock? And it's at this point, because no offense to Sheamus, we see Sheamus every week, there's something special when The Rock shows up. It's a big event. It's important when The Rock shows up, because he's not around a lot.
Right.
It's that signal that, yes, it is WrestleMania season, or it is a special moment when The Rock is there.
Right, I could also use Big Show as the example, but the point was, I'd rather see something different, something special, especially on WrestleMania, because stars like that make WrestleMania.
Yeah, so super exciting for The Rock. We'll have to see what he does. I'm sure we will be talking about this a lot.
Yeah, we'll dive deeper in it as the weeks go on and we find out what he's doing.
By the way, sorry, go ahead.
No, just... we'll find out what he's doing, and then we'll be able to dive deeper into it.
By the way, if you hear interjections of football, I'm sorry. My college team is playing in their bowl game tonight, so they're currently winning. We're going to have to see how they go, but yeah, just so everybody's aware, Louisville Go Cards is playing Texas A&M in their bowl game, and there's about 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So
now you know when we're recording this show.
Yes, you know exactly when we're recording this show. Well, I mean, it's not like we're keeping it secret.
No, I know, but they know exactly the exact moment. Here's when they're doing. Oh my god, this is when they're doing it. Oh my god.
Yeah, so if you want to go back and watch it when you listen to this, go to the fourth quarter of the Louisville Texas A&M game, and you can watch it semi-live with us as I sit here and potentially yell at the screen, because it's 3rd and 17 and they need to stop them. But anyway, so super excited for The Rock. Can't wait. I'm sure Roman Reigns will be happy to see his cousin. Maybe he'll get involved in Roman's match.
Maybe he will. Speaking of WrestleMania, WWE has announced there'll be a March to WrestleMania special on the WWE Network live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yay.
I like the network specials. They're fun. They're exciting.
It's going to be interesting with them doing one from Canada, I'm not going to lie.
Especially Toronto. And Toronto's been upset they haven't gotten a lot of Raws and stuff lately. So now they're getting a live special. So that's pretty cool.
So wait, all you have to do is complain that you're not getting something? Hunter, you bring Survivor Series, but you don't bring NXT to Atlanta? Hello?
Hello? Quote the Hurricane. What's up with that?
What's up with that? Everybody else is getting NXT. When is Atlanta getting NXT? Hunter, my man.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? And they missed the field goal.
They did.
Praise Jesus.
By the way, speaking of NXT, they have sold out their second show in Chicago. By popular demand, they put out another show, and it sold out within 30 minutes.
Go them. I mean, just go them.
Go them. You mentioned TNAsound.net, the haven for TNA fans. Here's a quick TNA note for all you people. They have a live pay-per-view in a week on January the 8th.
Get your J-month right.
Get my J-month right. Yeah, January 8th.
So go TNA.
TNA.
Everybody watch it.
TNA, one night only, live.
Is EC3 going to be there?
Probably. Probably.
Didn't
we speak to him this year?
We did. We talked to EC3, and if you want to listen to all our fabulous interviews from 2015 and 2014, and really any time the show's been on the air, go to RackRadioShow.com. They're all there for your listening pleasure. We've spoken to a lot of really cool people, including Seth Rollins and EC3. So, go check it out. Yeah. RackRadioShow.com. Ding.
She with a shameless plug. And that's a nice little segue. We should talk about what we've done this year and how the show's grown this year a little bit. And now we're on Gerwerk.net. Thank you, Steve Gerwerk, and all the fine folks there for welcoming us a part of your website.
We feel like a part of the family.
We do. And we've spoken to a few interesting people this year. We've talked to, as mentioned, the then Money in the Bank holder and then future world champion, Seth Rollins.
I would like to point out we did ask him if he was going to cash in at Mania.
We did. You can go back and listen to his answer.
We gave him the idea.
We did. We did. It was us.
Heard it here first, folks.
And when we talked to Seth Rollins, it was the night he laid out both Brock Lesnar and John Cena on Monday Night Raw.
It was awesome.
We talked to him the next day, and it was all the buzz on the internet and everything in the wrestling community. It's like, oh my God, did you see what Seth Rollins did? And we got the chance to talk to him right afterwards, which was pretty epic. When they were moving to Thursdays on Sci-Fi, we also got to talk to Alicia Fox, WWE Diva, which was a lot of fun. For me, having Shawn Michaels on the air one more time was pretty epic.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels was pretty cool.
And one of our better interviews, or one of our longer interviews of the year, was with Jim Ross.
I was super nervous to talk to Jim Ross, because it's like the most legendary sportscaster probably in the industry, never mind the wrestling industry. So it's like, here I am, you know, little old me doing this little podcast, and hey, we're interviewing JR, but a nicer man I've never met in my life. He's super sweet. I would love to talk to JR again. I would love to, like, just sit down and pick his brain, honestly.
Yeah. So we got to talk to Jim Ross, and we played a few of those on the Best Of episode. You get to catch all of them at RackRadioShow.com. We also got to talk to our friend Rob Schomburger this year before WrestleMania. We'll probably talk to him again at some point. We got the chance to speak to, again, another one, longtime person who we've had on the show before, Christopher Daniels, which is pretty cool. Elijah Burke, our friend of Matt Goldberg. You know, when we always say youtube.com/MBG1211, that's Matt Goldberg. He runs a YouTube wrestling action figure channel where he reviews action figures, and they're very good friends. He put together a documentary on the Pope, so you should all go. I don't know if that's available at this point, but he did a whole documentary on him, and we've talked to Matt Goldberg about it before. Just check that out in the archives as well. But Pope was a lot of fun. And it was right before he went back to TNA, and he was like, you knew it in his voice when we were talking to him. It was like, something's going on. It sounds like he was heading back, but he couldn't say it at that point.
And sure enough, what happens? He turns up on TNA TV.
Yeah. We got the chance to talk to Scott Lost, which was a lot of fun. Sajay Dutt, Kevin Sullivan, and as mentioned before, EC3. All a lot of fun interviews that we were able to accomplish this year. And, you know, that's just this year's resume. Who knows what we'll have in store in 2016. But this has been a fun year. A lot of growth. A lot of fun things we've been able to accomplish. We talk a lot of NXT if you're new to this program. So, in a couple
weeks, we talk a lot of Wyatt family on this program.
That too. But yeah, our NXT segment returns in 2 weeks because NXT will return in 2 weeks. Right now they're doing the best stuff. Which, by the way, little shameless thing. They show the finish of the Neville Cesaro match that no one's ever seen unless you were at the Arnold Classic. They show the last 5 minutes on NXT tonight.
I want the whole thing.
Available this March on DVD.
Crap, I gotta go buy a DVD. Crap.
Yeah, it's coming out of the Best Of NXT DVD, so check it out.
Well, it's gonna be airing on the network soon, so coming to the network after the DVD.
Probably.
Best Of NXT.
Most likely, yeah. So yeah, that's our year in review. I hope everyone enjoyed everything we've given you. And We have a lot to give you in 2016. That's what we'll do. We always think we can't top what we did the previous year, and we always somehow find a way to do it.
Because we're just clever like that.
We got the skills.
We got the mad skills, but I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing WWE's Year in Review, Part 1. Yes, it's so big, it gets two segments. So when we return, we will be talking about Event of the Year, the best entrance, Moment of the Year, and so much more. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, "Suplex City, bitch."
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you serious? You're not open. Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Hey, man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Gerwig.net and WrestlingFigureWednesdaysYouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And if you're just joining us, well, you missed our little blurb on the news, but you are just in time to join us for WWE's Year in Review, Part 1.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about some of the events of the year and sort of go from 10 to 1, and we put together a list for you of 10 to 1 because it's a countdown, you know, countdown to New Year's. Pop goes around. Get the theme now? Cool. Alright, so we're going to start with event of the year. Number 10 on the list, the Royal Rumble. Now, there are a lot of people who can say, you know, well, the Royal Rumble wasn't all that good. The Royal Rumble match was alright. They had some really good moments in the Royal Rumble match. Like, the heartbreaking moment for Lindsay, where Bray, Luke, and Eric all fought one another.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
But Bray Wyatt was able to meet the Boogeyman. Bray Wyatt had an impressive showing in the Rumble. Daniel Bryan was in the Rumble, for those who forget. I think no one forgot, because then that's when he got eliminated, everyone went, boo!
Yeah, this year's Rumble was kind of a mixed bag, because it was like everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win. I don't think everybody realized Daniel Bryan wasn't going to win. Bryan got eliminated really early in the Rumble, and well, as we all know, Roman Reigns won. He got booed out of the building. It sort of sidetracked things for him a little bit because the fans just did not want to take to him, and he began his journey to the WWE title, which he finally got to this year.
Which, if you think about it, it started in Philly where he got booed, and he got cheered when he won the title in Philly.
Irony.
Irony. But no,
y'all are fickle.
We are. We are very fickle. But no, the reason why this is on the list is simply for one of the matches we'll talk about in Match of the Year. Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena had an amazing match for the WWE title.
We all thought Seth was going to die. We were very proud of him. He didn't die.
He tried killing Brock Lesnar. That was impressive.
Yeah.
So that's why that's on number 10. Number 9 on the list, Hell in a Cell, which featured really two good Hell in a Cell matches. You had Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns, and you had The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Brock and Taker pulled something out that I didn't think they were going to be able to do.
A lot of people were really skeptical on this match, me included, because it was Taker is 50 years old. We all remember the last time he and Brock got together. It wasn't pretty. Taker actually walked out with a concussion. So it was like, you know, and then SummerSlam happened. He came out okay with SummerSlam. But it's a lot of people were concerned. It's like, does Taker still have it? Can Taker still pull off a Hell in a Cell match? And the answer to that question is yes. Of course he can. I think there were a lot of nerves, obviously, like I said, about his health. He came through it fine. You know, they were very, very careful. They made sure to take extra care and not do anything terribly stupid.
Thankfully.
I think they've both finally learned their lesson.
No, they haven't.
No, they haven't. Taker hasn't.
Neither has Brock. So that's why that's number 9 on the list. Number 8 Money in the Bank, which featured a really good match between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the WWE title.
Yes.
That was a really good ladder match. Great storytelling, a lot of time. You had the Sheamus winning the Money in the Bank ladder match, which was pretty good. It was a pretty good Money in the Bank match. And in the middle of this show, you had John Cena and Kevin Owens champion versus champion. This was their second encounter, and this was a really good match, too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this wasn't as good as the first encounter, but still excellent match. Because I think the first encounter just had that quality of Owens won.
Yeah, because Owens won, yeah. So that's the reason that's number 8. Number 7, simply SummerSlam. It was 4 hours. Taker and Brock had a really good main event, sans the finish. John Cena, Seth Rollins was a really good match, even with John Stewart getting involved, which was pretty awesome.
Hey, John Stewart is all of us.
He is.
Let's be honest.
I'm not denying it. I'm not denying it at all. But yeah, so that's where that is on the list. Yeah, SummerSlam was a really good, it was different, it was 4 hours. Kevin Owens and Cesaro had a good match. Rollins and Cena had a good match. Stephen Amell was on the show, it was really good. It was a really, the Rowan and Dean versus the Wyatt family was a really good match too.
Yes.
So that puts SummerSlam there. Next on the list, NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. And this was gonna be the first of many NXT TakeOver specials on this list. This one had, Sasha and Becky.
Yes. This I think was the first of the NXT specials that came out. And it was, okay, what are they gonna do? What is this all about? And, you know, it's, well, we're gonna give NXT the chance to have their own pay-per-view. And it's, you know, once a quarter that they get it. And they just went out there and they just blew the doors off.
Yeah, this was
the building.
This was the second one of the year.
Okay, this was the second one? Okay.
This was the second one of the year. Had Becky and Sasha, and had Zayn. This is when Owens killed Zayn.
Was this when Zayn won the title and Owens killed him?
No. This is where Owens killed Zayn in the title rematch, and this is where Samoa Joe debuted.
Ah, okay.
Now you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Okay. Outside of Brooklyn, I can't keep them all straight.
Yeah.
Because I remember Brooklyn very clearly, but I don't remember this one as well.
Right. And you also had Finn Balor and Tyler, which is really, which they showed on the Best of NXT as well. All right. So that one is there. We did have the one you were thinking of, which is NXT Rival, which had the first Owens and Zayn match, which ended in referee stoppage.
Yeah, because he just literally beat him into submission. And that was, I remember that show because that was the one where it was like, are they going to put the title on Owens? Are they really going to do it?
And powerbomb after powerbomb after powerbomb after powerbomb later, it happened.
And it was a great match because it's, you have Kevin Owens just beat Sami Zayn into submission, just like beat it out of him, which you don't see in wrestling anymore.
No.
Where you just have a guy go out there and beat another guy so bad that it's like they have to stop the match. Because the match always has a conclusion. Somebody always wins and somebody always loses. But this, it's like, no, this has to stop. You have to stop. Like, it's to the point that he cannot take anymore. I love the finish to that match. I love that it made Owens look like a freaking beast.
It did. This show also featured Finn Balor and Neville, which was really, really good. And it had the women, Banks, Charlotte, Bayley, and Lynch in a four-way for the title. This is where Sasha became the NXT Women's Champion.
And she wouldn't cry for Hunter.
She wouldn't cry for Hunter on this one. But this is where she won the title for the first time. This was a really good four-way.
This was a great four-way. This is where the women really began to pick up steam, really began to kick butt, really started to come to the forefront. Not that they hadn't been before.
But the momentum was building here.
You want to talk about the Divas Revolution? The momentum was building for the Divas Revolution here because they went out there and tried to steal the show.
Yes, very, very much so. We then go to Japan for Beast from the East, which, despite airing at, 5 a.m. Eastern?
Mm-hmm.
Which neither one of us watched on July 4th at 5 a.m. Eastern.
Get up at 5 a.m. on my day off. I'm sorry. I don't do that.
This was the hardest one. This was the hardest one not to know what happened on. It's like, cause with phones and tablets and everything, you get all your notifications. It's like, I had to shut my iPad off so I wouldn't get any, or turn the WWE notifications off from Twitter, so I wouldn't know what the hell happened on this show when I woke up.
Yeah.
And this one had, despite the tag match at the end, which was just a drag, you had Finn Balor and Kevin freaking Owens for the NXT title, and Finn Balor won his belt here.
Yeah, and this was a huge moment for Balor. I loved how they did this. I loved how they produced this. It felt completely different from anything else we'd ever seen. They honored the Japanese customs. They honored the culture. They just did a really nice job with this, because it's like, okay, it's a network special. It's not a pay-per-view, so we're not going to go all out for it, but you know what? We want it to look at least cool. We want it to be decent. They had some nice surprises there. Poor Kofi Kingston died.
Yeah, yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah, and Neville and Jericho had a really good match, too, in the opener.
Yeah, Neville and Jericho had a fantastic match in the opener. I mean, this was a really well-done show.
And this
was kind of the start of the realization that the Hunter-produced shows are better.
Yeah.
With this and NXT, it was like, okay, the ones that Hunter is getting his hands on, they're the better shows.
Yeah. Then you have WrestleMania at number 3. I don't know what I have to say about WrestleMania other than it was WrestleMania. DX and the NWO showed up. The Rock and Ronda Rousey showed up. Sting had his first ever match, and Seth Rollins cashed in.
Bray and Taker.
WrestleMania has to be on this list, and has to be in the top 3. I debated between 3 and 2 for this one, but then you had NXT TakeOver Respect, and you had the Dusty Classic, and you had the Iron Man match with the girls. It was a toss-up.
It was a toss-up. I think overall, Mania is Mania.
Right, so deserve
it. And Mania is in its own real category, so you can't really compare it to anything else, because nothing else WWE does has the grandeur that WrestleMania has. The closest thing is SummerSlam, but SummerSlam can't even touch it. It just really can't. I mean, Mania is an entity in and of itself. So, it's like, this year's WrestleMania was good.
It really was.
It was really good, very well done. The only issue was, it was daylight.
It was daylight, yeah.
That was the only problem, and there's nothing they could do about that.
That's why it ended up number 3, because of the daylight, stupid daylight.
Yeah, it's like, it didn't get dark until the main event, which is fine, but I mean, it was a really nice surprise to have Rollins cash in at the end, and take the title from Reigns,
right,
and take the title from Lesnar. It's like, okay, that's a good way to get that done. And we had called that on the show, where it's like, Rollins hasn't cashed in yet. He's going to make it to Mania. He's going to cash in at Mania, because they need that surprise.
And then, so TakeOver Respect, that was number 2, and makes TakeOver Brooklyn number 1. You had Sasha Bailey, you had Baylor and Owens in the ladder match. It was Brooklyn. The entire show, top to bottom, was freaking fantastic.
Sasha Bailey. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
On a pogo stick. Just Sasha and Bailey.
Yeah.
Just that whole rivalry, that whole feud. Years and years and years coming together in one moment, in one match, and they went out there, and they had the match of their lives that night, and you go back and you watch it, and it just holds up.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more here in a bit. So that's event of the year. So for us, number 1 was NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
Right. And also just the size of it.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I mean, it sold out in what, an hour?
Something like that, yeah. All right, or not? No, it wasn't an hour, but it kept. They have to keep opening up seats. More,
yeah, it
and
kept
more.
Growing.
Yeah, it kept, that one kept growing. All right, so best entrance, number 10, Rusev rides a tank.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty epic. Like, wait, we were like, wait, is he coming out on a tank? Yep, he's out on a tank. Rusev on a tank. Number 9 was Tyler Breeze walks the runway and NXT on TakeOver Unstoppable, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, Tyler's getting an entrance, and it's epic!
We then had, from the last TakeOver special in London, Finn Balor as Jack the Ripper.
That was pretty good. He had a nice hat.
The Demonsaurus at NXT TakeOver Unstoppable for Finn
Stegosaurus! Demonic Stegosaurus!
Yeah.
I love how, like, half of these are Finn Balor's entrance.
They are. Because he had all, yeah, you know, Tyler Breeze then at number 6 with his New York State of Mind, where he have all the different things representing New York. Thought that was really cool for Brooklyn.
Yeah, that was a nice, nice touch for Brooklyn.
Number 5, Triple H terminates WrestleMania.
Okay, I know everybody, or a lot of people, did not like this entrance. It would have been this one, and the next one would have been way cooler in the dark.
All right,
just saying.
Tell him number 4.
Number 4, Bray Wyatt and his scarecrows at WrestleMania. That would have been creepy as all hell if it was in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the daylight. It still worked. It was still effective. But damn, I wish I could have seen Hunter and Bray's entrance in the dark.
Yeah.
because that would have been something to see.
Coming in at number 3, Sasha Banks arrives in style in Brooklyn.
Dude, she needs to do that, like, every pay-per-view. Just, she rolls up in an Escalade, she's got bodyguards, she's calling the shots, she's the boss. Like, you want to talk about the quintessential entrance for that character? That was it. I cannot wait to see that on a bigger scale, because, yeah. It's like, she got out of that car, and it's like, yep, that works.
That works.
Sold.
Number 2, Finn Balor and his demons at Brooklyn.
He multiplied.
He did. He spawned off and multiplied. And then there's number 1 that, well, she saw in person. 25
years. My voice.
She did. 25 years of Taker at Survivor Series.
I love that because I got this text message. Is there a giant coffin hanging over the ring?
And then she's looking around. There's a box.
There's a box. A giant box. And then from there, it was starting to figure out what they were going to do with it. But yeah, just that moment of Taker walking out and the video screen in the coffin and the flames and the smoke and just Taker's entrance is Taker's entrance. And there is absolutely nothing like it. Bray's a second, but he's not close.
He's not close yet. But no.
He's not close yet, but yeah, it's just that was a really, really cool moment to be able to be there and see it live.
Like, Taker didn't really get an entrance at WrestleMania, it was just his entrance. He got his at Survivor Series.
Yeah. They went all out for Taker at Survivor Series.
Which is why he's number 1 on our list. Now we go to moment of the year. It has to be on this list. Roman Reigns wins the WWE title a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Raw.
But I was a little disappointed by this because it was like when they're like, oh yeah, well you have to win or you're fired. It's like, oh, Roman's winning.
Yeah.
But still, they kind of gave it away with that, but it's like other than that, it was a great moment for him.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that they put the, you know, Roman Reigns appears on ESPN tomorrow on the bottom of the screen right before the match starts, sort of gave it away too.
Yeah.
But the moment itself, Superman punching Vince McMahon and winning the title, pretty cool. Number 9 on the list is the markout moment for me. DX and the NWO appeared at WrestleMania 31. Holy crap. Is that DX? That's DX. Wait, is that the NWO? Holy crap, that's the NWO. Where's Sean? Holy crap. There's Sean. He's in the DX gear. Super kick. Bam. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was a really great moment.
It's like, holy shit, what's going on? Oh my god. There they are. Holy crap. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a markout moment for everybody. It's like, holy shnikes.
So number 8 on the list, Undertaker returns to Battleground. Like, there was a rumor Taker's coming back. It's like, oh, Taker's not coming back. He's not gone. Taker's back.
He's back. And he's here to kill Brock Lesnar.
And he's here to kick Brock Lesnar in his nuts.
Well, you know, when you take the man's streak, to be perfectly honest, for hearing Paul Heyman go, and the streak is dead, I am the one behind the one in 21-1, the fact that we had to hear that ad nauseum for 6 months, I'm kind of okay that Taker kicked him in the nuts. I really am. I'm sorry to say that because Brock Lesnar could probably eat me alive, but yeah, I just... A little retribution for Taker. Just a little bit. You know, help him get his dignity back kind of thing.
Coming in number 7 is the moment where Lindsay was like, crap, I'm in Nebraska. Sasha Banks, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch debut on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, I was so pissed. I was so pissed. Raw's in Atlanta. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. And Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky all debut on Monday Night Raw. And I was like, son of a bitch. I was not happy.
So number 6... Kind of amending this one now a little bit for number 6. Bray Wyatt shows up in a casket at Fastlane, and then adding on to that, burns said casket a couple weeks later on Monday Night Raw.
I was so proud. I was so proud of him. It's like, oh baby, that's how you do that. Right there is you just go right for the jugular. I was so proud.
And he did. He went right for the jugular. So that comes in at number 6. Number 5, one of the most talked about moments from SummerSlam that we did not bring up when we mentioned SummerSlam for this reason. The moment during the match with Undertaker and Brock Lesnar where Taker sits up, Brock sits up, and they're both laughing back and forth at each other.
The meme heard around the world. That's all I'm going to say. It's Taker's sarcastic laugh.
Right. Later in the year, Bray Wyatt went from burning caskets to controlling the magic of the Undertaker.
This was cool for a variety of reasons, all of which have been discussed on this show, but just to have Bray Wyatt kidnap the Undertaker, successfully do it, potentially hold him hostage for at least a week, to two, because we're going to go with it took him at least 2 weeks to steal the Undertaker's soul. Steals his soul and his powers and takes the Undertaker's powers from him. That was really pretty cool for the character. I'm really sad they did not do more with it. I would have actually liked to have seen Bray Wyatt somehow gain control over the Undertaker. But, you know, obviously with the 25th anniversary, they could not go there with it. But that was still a really cool moment for the character.
I agree. Number three, Kevin Owens beats John Cena clean at Elimination Chamber.
This was the moment the internet went, holy crap, he doesn't kick out at two all the time.
Yeah. This was pretty cool. Good match. Really good match. And the moment was like, wait, did that just happen? Yep, that happened.
Because again, is Owens going to win? It's Cena. But it's his debut match. But it's Cena. You just don't know.
Number two, Seth Rollins cashes in at WrestleMania.
I already talked about this one. Go, Sethy, go.
This was really, really epic and awesome. Brilliant, brilliantly done. We all kind of thought it in the back of our heads, but they're not going to do it. Yep, they did it. He cashed in. Because we were trying to figure out how they do the finish. Because we didn't think Roman was getting the belt. It's like, oh, that's how they're doing it. Oh, okay. Rollins wins. Okay. And then we go back to Brooklyn for number one. The celebration. After Sasha and Bayley were the Four Horsemen all celebrated in the ring together.
The moment where you were, that made you a fan again.
It did. Like, you couldn't help but get emotional watching those four in the ring together.
Because it's a moment where it's, you see how much it means to them, and so often that's hidden from view. Or we as fans as fans get to see their passion and their drive and what fuels them and how much they love this, you know, that we're just presented with a character and them as a performer. So, you know, we don't get to see that. So the fact that they gave them that moment where it's Bayley gets to say goodbye, but it's they're passing the torch to Bayley of, okay, we're going up to the main roster. We'll see you soon, but this is now yours.
Yeah. It was the passing of the torch and it was awesome.
It was just a fantastic moment.
So that's number one for moment of the year. We have some honorable mentions in this category. Number one, Raw gets snowed in.
Yes.
The concept of it, even though they replayed the Royal Rumble stuff, it was Raw snowed in and they had to do something new. It was pretty cool.
It's JBL and Cole doing the weather.
Yeah, they had JBL on the roof. That was awesome. Then we had Brock Lesnar destroying J&J Security's car.
That's on there simply because he threw a car door 20 feet.
And it was pretty epic that he destroyed their car.
Yeah.
With his bare hands. And then, the moment after WrestleMania, where Brock Lesnar destroyed Michael Cole.
Ah, yes.
And it was, rest in peace, Michael Cole's shoe.
Yep. Yep.
Had to get that one in there, because, you know, had to.
We had to.
So that's the moment of the year, and this is where we go. We're taking a break.
Yeah, because, like I said, this is so big, it's two segments. So, when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Female of the Year, Male Wrestler of the Year, and Match of the Year, along with a little tweet of the week. And yes, because some people cannot get their questions in on time.
In turn,
we're doing a little Ask the Rack. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. I had a dream that I made it here in the spotlight. Woke up, see my life in the shade. Nah, it's not quite. Hustling every day, I'm on my way to that job light. It's my destiny to be bigger, yeah, I got fight. And all that visions are sitting high on my own gold throne. Never listen. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And we're going to, before we get back to the year in review, we're going to take a short little, you know, segue, tangent, if you will, to Tweet of the Week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and
there's
I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
It wasn't a catch. Challenge it, Petrino. Challenge it. It wasn't a catch. He didn't have control of the ball. Just saying. Anyway.
I like being on the other end of this when it's usually me complaining about football and not you complaining about football.
I tried so hard not to yell it during the Tweet of the Week song.
Yeah, no, you did. You did.
Hold it in until it got done. It's like, it's not a catch!
Yeah,
somebody can't challenge it, and yay, it's under official review. So, alright. All of these are DiGiorno Pizza, because I realized that the last section, I forgot to do tweets. So, DiGiorno Pizza. Always be yourself, unless you can be someone with pizza. Then be them. Pizza penalty. Unnecessary roughness equals delivery pizza sliding in the back of the car. Make the right call with DiGiorno. And lastly, a day without pizza is like nothing. It is the worst of all scenarios. I agree.
So you didn't get many tweets this week?
No.
Good. I have a bunch.
I figured.
Scott Fishman, this was the year The Undertaker worked more dates than Santa. Merry Christmas to us. Hashtag WWE. It's very true. Very true. Someone tweeted, Big E, why hasn't WWE Big E made a text/ringtone? Oh, don't dare be sour. Clap for your text message. It's a new text. Yes, it is. Big E replied, is there an actual demand for such a thing? And can I profit widely from it?
Yes.
From Happy Gilmore. Breaking news. Times Square officials have announced Dez Bryant has been hired to drop the ball on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
Fake ESPN. Kirk Cousins has gone into full Chris Webber mode. Reuben Frank. The Eagles have really improved their kneel down defense. Scott Hansen. Fourth quarter. Up couple touchdowns. Look for Washington to take a knee here. Dave Meltzer in the future. Future Meltzer. In order to avoid confusion with Roman Reigns, another Samoan named Joe, WWE is hesitant to put Samoa Joe on the main roster. It's true. Can't confuse the two Joe Samoans. Not SportsCenter. Week 17 playoff scenarios. Jets win and in. Browns win and qualify for high school playoffs. Cowboys win and clinch home couch advantage. Taking shots when I can. Someone tweeted Kevin Owens, tonight I will feel the power as I rep the New Day. Hashtag New Day rocks. At Xavier Woods, at True Kofi, at Fight Owens Fight. Kevin Owens replied, yes, I've officially replaced Big E as New Day's resident gyrating hoss. Big E replied, what am I supposed to do now? Can't go back to heel Ziggler and the woman whose name is not to be uttered. Ziggler won custody battle, and P.S., you were named after Mike Epps. The Rock tweeted or Instagrammed, "It's official. People's Champ is coming home to do three things with the people. Set an all-time attendance record. Electrify Dallas like never before and make all-time WrestleMania history. And we have fun." Okay, that's four things. But you know, what the hell? What The Rock's saying. Thank you, WWE Universe. It's always an honor to coming home and I wouldn't miss it for the world. Hashtag People's Champ. Alright, reason I read this one, because it was replied to. Bailey, and get a hug. Rock replied, "What do you do? Well, in advance, champ, a Rock hug is lethal." Which, hold on, I got the reply. Hold on, where's the reply? I had the reply. Her reply was, "Hug contest in Dallas. Hashtag just bring it."
Get him, Bailey. Get him.
Meltzer in the future. Special guest GM Miss Alyssa Joan Hart booked Team Bad in a three-way, but they refused to compete because of unity. Three-man booth. The Hounds of Justice still have some friends left. Hashtag Raw. Ringside access. Vince is clearly being written off TV to film 12 rounds for Totes, obviously. Tom Pritchard. "I'm taking up a collection for bail. Start at $20. Jimmy Corderas. Is Canadian currency accepted? Tom Pritchard. "No, only U.S. currency." Goddamn, Canadian currency is not worth anything. So Rachel Ellering tweeted, "But what if I wanted that to go longer? Hashtag Raw." And Storm replied, "That's what she said." To follow up on the currency one, Tom Pritchard goes, okay, just kidding. Make $40 Canadian and you got a deal." Jimmy Corderas replied, "Sound good. That's only $1.95 U.S. Keep it 5-star. Uh-oh, we lost another Sin Cara." Three-man booth. The Slammy Award-winning Zack Ryder, you know, from a few years ago. Hashtag Raw. Three-man booth. "Remember King Barrett is like a cup of... King Barrett is like a cup of English tea made out of porcelain. Let's use kid gloves, everybody." Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. "King Barrett gets dressed to wrestle but avoids all the action. I did the same thing in my high school gym class." Hashtag Raw. Three-man booth. "Powerbomb Owens, powerbomb." Hashtag Raw. Keep it 5-star. Del Rio Raw. "You don't get a title shot, Cena. This is Brooklyn, Big E, Jay-Z, Del Rio. Rap references? That's it. Title match." Kyle Lewis. "Loan agency. Sir, your records show that you once bought a chicken noodle soup ringtone. Me. With a soda on the side. Yes." Rachel CNSN. Chip release means Brett Brown is the longest tenured head coach in Philly right now. The Sixers have 2 wins. Winning. And finally, Sin Cara tweeted, "Funny at WWE Big E, flex all the big muscles you want, but you don't have the heart of a champion. Hashtag Lucha Strong." Big E replied, "My heart is fine. Sure, my blood pressure is a little high. Cholesterol too. I do get a little lightheaded after exercise. ... Tweet of the week. So we're ready to dive into females of the year?
We are.
Alright, number 10, Natalya. She has to be on the list. She's from the Hart family. We would get dirty looks if we didn't put Natalya on the list.
Yes, we would.
But she deserves it.
I should know all the women really deserve to be on this list.
Oh yeah, they do. Number 9, Emma. She has completely turned her career around in NXT.
Yeah.
She went from bubbly Emma to heel Emma. It's been the best thing for her career, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Number 8, the evil Sparkle Fairy.
Another person who went heel and has never looked back and has done wonders for her career.
Number 7, the longest reigning Divas champion in WWE history, Nikki Bella.
You know, you have to give props where props are due.
And everyone's like, why is Nikki only number 7? Well, because she's number 7. We like other divas. These are our opinion. If you think Nikki deserves to be higher, then she had a great year. No denying that.
Nikki had the best year of her career ever, and she deserves every accolade and every prop that she's gotten. Real talk. Truth. I mean, she's the longest reigning Divas champion in history. Do I think she could have had a more eventful reign? Yes, but that's not on her. That's on creative. She was an ambassador for her sport.
Very, very true.
She was named Female Wrestler of the Year by PWI, I believe.
Yeah, she was.
You know, she's Diva of the Year. She's, you know, she's done a lot of good. I can't think of all of it off the top of my head, but she's done a lot of good this year. She's pulled a 180 on her career, because I remember a time when Nikki Bella couldn't wrestle her way out of a paper bag. She's dedicated herself to her sport. She has gotten herself to the point where she's one of the best divas in WWE today.
And it's unfortunate that she has gotten injured, and she'll probably no longer be doing the Rock Attack whenever she comes back.
Yes, yeah. But you know what? If it means that she stays healthy and she's not in pain, I'm okay with that.
This is very true. Number 6, Becky Lynch.
Becky had a good year. I think she's got better years in front of her. But Becky, you talk about another person who did a complete 180, turned herself around, changed her character,
changed her, took off. Changed her look, changed her hairstyle, and she was a part of two really epic matches down in NXT this year. Just to name a couple off the top of our head we mentioned earlier. She deserves to be on this list, number six. Number five, she just came in, but she is amazing. Asuka.
Oh, God. Asuka is going to have a larger impact on WWE than anybody realizes. And yes, she only came in, but the impact that she's already had puts her on this list.
Easily.
She's one of the best women in the world at what she does.
This is very true. Coming in at number four, Paige. She's had a lot of good matches this year. Very underrated at times with the matches that she's had. And that's why she's four.
Yes. I mean, Paige basically picked up and carried the heel portion of the division when the Bellas were out of action with various injuries. Because this is not the first time Nikki's been hurt. When AJ was injured, Paige has basically picked up and kind of carried the baton of the division. And hey, Louisville wins the bowl game.
And Paige,
yay!
And Paige finally got her WrestleMania moment, and she actually teamed with AJ against the Bell Twins at WrestleMania, which was a fine match on its own.
It was a chance to let Paige shine, and that's exactly what AJ did. Is AJ stepped out of the spotlight, she let Paige have her moment, she let Paige shine, which is what needed to happen because she was on her way out.
Yeah,
she knew she was.
She was gone. By the end of that week.
So it's like, why not let Paige have her moment?
And she did. Number three, Charlotte.
Yes.
She has a resume to be on there. Former NXT Women's Champion and now current Divas Champion. She's had a lot of good matches this year. And she deserves to be number three. There's no other argument I can make pro Charlotte on this one. She's a very bright future.
You know, Charlotte, Paige, Becky, Sasha Bailey, they're all kind of the innovators of the Divas Revolution, the modern Divas Revolution. There have been several incarnations of it that certain divas have helped to start. AJ started a portion of it when AJ came in because she kind of rocked the boat in terms of her look, in terms of her attitude, and in terms of her character. She was different than every other girl on the roster. Then you had Paige come up. Paige continued that. And then you had down in NXT, Charlotte and Becky and Sasha and Bailey, the four horsewomen, carry that torch down in NXT, and now it's coming up to the main roster with three of the four, with Bailey continuing to carry that on down in NXT. So Sasha, or I should say Charlotte, deserves her place where she's at.
And then the final two, they could be 1-2, 2-1, doesn't matter which way you put them.
It's a tie.
It's really 1A, 1B. We can call it a tie. Sasha and then Bailey, or Bailey and Sasha, whichever way you want to do it. There are two women of the year. Basically, we'll put it that way. Sasha and Bailey tie for that one. Because you really can't pick. Because they were part of the feud of the year. They had a couple matches of the year. They were awesome. They are a delight to watch. They are this generation's big, they are the upcoming generation's big feud that will go for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, this is a rivalry that will last throughout their careers. You have to go back to Brooklyn. It was match of the year. It was match of the night for sure. Match of the year candidate. It's, like I said earlier, you go back, you watch it, it holds up, it's flawless, it's absolutely perfect in everything you could ever want it to be. And then they backed it up by doing a 2 out of 3 falls, or not 2 out of 3 falls, good lord, Iron Woman match the next show, next NXT special show, and that match was equally as good. It didn't have the same drama, but it was still equally as good. They took a lot of high risks. They went out there to steal the show. And like you said, I mean, it's a rivalry that's going to last, and you really can't pick one over the other because Sasha had a tremendous year. She came into her own. She won the women's championship. She carried the torch. Then Bailey finally had her moment in Brooklyn. She won the title. Everybody was so excited for her. She had a great match with Sasha. You know, and Bailey's continuing on with those matches, and it's like you can't pick between the two.
No, Sasha broke through in February, carried it for 6 months. Bailey broke through in August and has carried it since then. They both had a chance to shine. They both were amazing and continue to be amazing at what they do, and they deserve those top spots. And I have a feeling next year when we do this, they're going to be 1-2 again.
Oh, probably. I would hope they are.
Though Asuka could give them a run for their money.
Asuka could give them a run for her money, absolutely.
All right, Wrestler of the Year, coming in at number 10. It's a tie, because one had one half a year, the other had another half of the year. Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe, they both split number 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in for that, because it's like you said, one had a good half of the first year, one had a good second half, so, you know, what do you do?
Right, because it's like, I wanted to put Zayn there, but you can't really put him there because he didn't have a full year, so you're with that, so a split. Number 9, John Cena, U.S. champion, U.S. Open challenges, great matches all year long. It wasn't the same repetitive, boring John Cena. He actually stepped up his game this year.
You know, honestly, I like the open challenge. I like the concept of it. It was Cena without being Cena. You saw a lot of people get to go for that title that you probably wouldn't normally see. And you got a lot of really great matches. We got Zayn and Cena, for example. I mean, hell.
Cena and Neville.
Cena and Cesaro.
Yeah.
Cena and Owens. I mean, it's just, you got to see a lot of matches that you would probably never think you could see out of that open challenge, and it was just fantastic.
Yes, it was. Number 8, Roman Reigns, WWE Champion. Enough said.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a year.
Number 7, one of the pound-for-pound best wrestlers in the company, very underrated, Cesaro.
Agreed. He's kind of turned himself around. Unfortunately, Tyson got hurt, but Cesaro's attempted to continue on. And, you know, it's he went from obscurity to prominence, and then now he's back in obscurity again, unfortunately.
Because he got hurt.
Damn it.
Number 6, Bray Wyatt.
Boo-boo! The man kidnapped The Undertaker and stole his powers. I mean, really? And then he did it to Kane again. And just, enough said.
And to back that up, great performance in the Rumble, good match with The Undertaker, WrestleMania, carried Roman Reigns through the summer. That's why he's number 6.
Yup.
And he got 2 good matches out of The Undertaker.
Yup.
Number 5, Dean Ambrose. It's Dean Ambrose.
You know, Dean is pound for pound. It's like Dean and Seth are kind of right there neck and neck together in terms of great performances, great matches, great characters. Dean is just a little bit more charismatic. But, I mean, Dean is one of the best people that they have in that company today because he is just that good. You know, he put in an incredible couple of matches with Rollins, including the one that we mentioned earlier, the ladder match at Money in the Bank. I mean, you want to talk about ladder matches? That's a fantastic example of it. You know, him just haunting Seth Rollins for that title was just perfect. And who else can show up with a hot dog truck and a police wagon all in the same year except Dean Ambrose?
This is very, very true. Now, this is where the list gets dicey, because it's really tough. Number 4, Finn Balor.
Finn had a good year. He debuted. He won the NXT title. He became the face of the brand.
Pretty epic year. Number 3, The Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, former WWE champion, guy murdered The Undertaker.
The guy that tried to murder Seth Rollins and did not succeed.
Tried to, killed Michael Cole though.
So that's why he's number 3.
Number 2, Kevin Owens, Murder Bear.
Murder Bear! Yes, Murder Bear needs to be number 2 because he debuted in NXT. He won the title, held the title for what, 3 months?
No, longer than that, like 4 or 5 months.
4 or 5 months. Went up, I think about halfway through his reign, faced John Cena, beat John Cena, clean. You know, obviously lost his title to Finn Balor in Japan, but then proceeded to go up to the main roster and has been murdering people ever since. I mean, Kevin Owens has had an absolutely spectacular year. He won the IC title, and you can't. And he hasn't even been in the company a year, so think about that.
Well, actually, technically a year. He debuted December 11th at Our Evolution.
Okay, so it just makes it.
Just makes it a year. And, well, he's number 2 because he didn't win the Slammy. That's why he's number 2.
Yeah.
And number 1, simply put, former guest of this very show, Seth Rollins.
Yeah. I mean, Rollins, yeah. Everybody thought Roman Reigns was going to be the guy that was going to get pushed to the moon and was going to be super successful coming out of the Shield. He may still be, but Rollins got there before Reigns and Ambrose did. He carried the company through the majority of the summer before he unfortunately got injured. In fact, I think he would still be carrying the company if he had to. But yeah, I mean, Seth Rollins has had a tremendous year from going from Mr. Money in the Bank to WWE World Heavyweight Champion to number 1 heel in the company to really the heel the face of the company in terms of being a heel. You know, they made Seth Rollins this year, and you can't complain about that.
I would agree with that. So Seth Rollins is Wrestler of the Year. So now we go to Match of the Year. Coming in at number 10, Sami Zayn, John Cena from Monday Night Raw. Man wrestled the match with a dislocated shoulder. Come on.
Come on.
Not much more to say than that. But it was an awesome match, awesome moment. Bret Hart introduces Sami Zayn to the crowd in Montreal. It was epic. It was awesome. It was like, wait, no, I'm not going to pull out. Yep, they pulled out Sami Zayn. And he ended up having a match with John Cena. It was awesome. That's number 10. Number 9, we go to Hell in a Cell, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt. If it wasn't for Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, this was one of the better Hell in a Cells in a while.
Yeah, it was. It was, again, like I said earlier, they were concerned about this one. They quelled those concerns very quickly. They put on a great, great match that kind of put to bed a very heated rivalry.
Kendo sticks, a lot of kendo sticks. Unique ways to use kendo sticks did Bray and Roman.
Yeah. They did a good job on this. I was very, very proud of both of them, considering the fact that they've never done this before, and they seemingly are set, and when I say they, I mean WWE, set on trying to kill Bray Wyatt, because they keep giving him all these really dangerous matches to do.
Yeah, they do.
But Bray went in there, Bray and Roman had some fun, man.
Number 8, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Royal Rumble. This was awesome.
This was just a great match.
Rollins diving from the top of the turnbuckle through a table onto Brock Lesnar. Yeah. This was a violent war. Brock retained, but this was a great match.
Yeah, this was a fantastic match.
Speaking of Hell in a Cell, Taker and Brock, number 7. Easy, simple. We've broke it down already.
Yeah, enough said.
Finn Balor, Kevin Owens in Brooklyn. This was the rematch. This was the ladder match.
This was the match that had to follow Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah, this was really good too.
Oh, this was great. This was absolutely great. I don't think they're going to ever let Finn Balor do another ladder match ever again, but I think it was great.
Coming in number 5, the 4-way, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky, and Bayley, NXT rivals.
We've already broken this one down. Really enough
good,
said.
Really good match. Number 4, Elimination Chamber. Not the stinker in the chamber. No, this was Kevin Owens and John Cena.
Yeah, this was awesome.
Number 3, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens from Beast from the East. As mentioned earlier when we talked about Beast from the East, the pageantry in this one where they threw the streamers, and the storytelling in this one. Kevin Owens knows how to interact with the crowd, threw stuff back at the crowd. It was unique, it was different, and it was for the NXT Championship. It was like, this was a big moment. This was worth watching this show for just this match. This was awesome.
Yeah, this was, everything about this was perfect. Kevin Owens did his part perfectly. Balor did his part perfectly. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than this.
Number 2, Iron Woman, Sasha, Bayley. NXT respect.
Like I said before, this didn't have the same emotional pull that Brooklyn did, but this was still a fantastic match.
And number 1, Bayley, Sasha, Brooklyn. If this match does not bring a tear to your eye, you are heartless.
Yeah, this still, you really are going to are.
This still brings a tear to my eye every time I watch it. Because this is awesome. The emotion driven in this match. This was Bayley's moment. Bayley had to shine. She had, 13,000 plus people cheering her on for her big win. It was awesome. The drama, the storytelling, it was unpredictable. Because you didn't know if Bayley was going to win. You figured she would, but then there's Sasha Banks, who could always win. And they just told the story. They wrestled a match, worked over the hand from a previous injury. They sold that. It played into the finish. All in all, this was awesome. The emotional moment afterwards, it was just, I don't know. Every time I watch it, you get sucked in. And it's like, oh my God, this is awesome. Oh my God, you get the goosebumps. When you watch wrestling, goosebumps happen. This match continues to bring in. I've watched this match like 6-7 times. Still get it every time.
Yeah, it was perfect. I cannot complain about this match. It was, no, that's not true. I can. My only complaint is that it was not the main event in the show.
That's the only complaint.
That's the only complaint. It was the show placement, but I understand why the NXT title was the main event. It should have been the main event, but this match was just amazing.
So Bayley,
it was absolutely spot on.
So Bayley Sasha was our match of the year. So that's Pop Goes the Rack in the traditional sense, counting down, you know, the best moments, matches, athletes of the year. Now, because somebody, our very special intern, decided, oh, you know, I'm not going to get the stuff in on time, we have to play another edition of Ask the Rack, and this time we have a special bumper.
You ask it, we answer it. It's Ask the Rack.
Hey!
Hey! Production. Woohoo.
Woohoo. So, alright. Do you want your shot questions first, or do you want to hold those back?
Let's wait till the end for those.
Okay.
Alright. Favorite match of this past year? We just talked about it, so we're not going to answer that part of it. Favorite match of all time? The one that comes to mind, there's a few, but I'll stick with the Battle for Love, Shawn's Love, WrestleMania 28, Hunter, Taker in the Cell.
I'm going to go with one of my favorite matches because I don't have a singular favorite match, but my go-to is always Shawn Taker at 25.
That was going to be my other choice.
That's just, it's such a brilliant match and it's nearly perfect. It's just one of those things that you just go back and you watch it. And it's like the Hell in a Cell where you can pick out little things every time, and you see the psychology and the storytelling and all of it, and it's just brilliant. And it's two masters going to work.
Yeah. And me and you together, we've watched, going back to Hunter and Taker in the Cell, we've watched that together at least a dozen times, right?
At least.
Every single time we pick out something new when we're watching it together. That shows how good that matchup was. What was the worst match you remember watching from the past year? Well, we've detailed on the show, the worst match of this year was that train wreck of a chamber match that featured Ryback and Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And Sheamus. And Dolph Ziggler.
That was special. That was like, what are you doing? Can we please just get this over with?
There's been other matches in the past, because, you know, he also, what's the worst match you remember watching? There was a few from the WWE ECW featuring Kali and Kane and Viscera. There's been a Punjabi prison match. There's been a Hell from Hell match a long time ago. All very bad matches.
Yeah, I don't have any one that springs to mind, because generally I either don't pay attention during those matches or I just block them out. But yeah, I kind of got to go with the chamber match. That was pretty bad.
You have to create your ultimate all-time Survivor Series team. What five wrestlers would you pick, and who would their opposing team be? What would the team names be? All right. So, let's do this together since we don't have to do two different teams. Let's pick a team.
Wyatts.
Four Wyatts? Four Wyatts and a Kane? Or four Wyatts and a Taker. How about that?
Or four Wyatts and a Dempsey? So we can have the Wyatt love child in there?
Yeah, let's do it. Four Wyatts and the Wyatt love child. Okay. So that's Team Wyatt family and their step cousin. So they take on, let's see, who should they take on? I don't know. Like, you gotta give us a reason. This was a terrible question. I say we skip this question. That was a terrible question.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I can't come up with the opposing team, but four Wyatts and a Dempsey.
Next time, you gotta give a scenario, like, why are they fighting? It's like all-time Survivor Series teams. Because like, you could do Shawn and Triple H and all that. You know what I mean? You could do all-time legend teams. Like, that's simple. Next time, be more specific. Give us a concept, alright? Who will be the WWE, who will be the champions at this time next year? Who will it be and who would you like it to be? Alright, WWE World Heavyweight Champion this time next year will be... Since it's December, so we're doing it for December, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next year this time it'll be... WWE Champion will be, I'll say, Rusev. Who do you say?
Dean Ambrose.
Intercontinental Champion next year this time will be... Neville.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Bo Dallas.
United States Champion. At this time next year, I'll go Ryback, because why not?
Sami Zayn.
There you go. Divas Champion this time next year, Sasha Banks.
Bayley.
Tag Team Champions, Wyatt Family.
Wyatt Family.
I got nothing. No, I'll do you one better. This time next year, Jordan Gable.
Got to go with the kids.
You are now WWE HR. We're not doing for NXT. You are now WWE HR and have to cut five people from the WWE roster. Who would you choose?
Oh, all right, that's hard.
Okay, let's go. Let's do what we do.
WWE.com.
Because it's like, I've had these questions. I should have prepared stuff for these questions. Nope.
Right?
Didn't do that.
You slacker.
I know. Let's go through the list. Adam Rose, cut. Alex Riley, cut. Let's see, that's two. We'll cut, we're HR. I'll cut El Torito, that's three. Hornswoggle, four. And I'll cut Ryback, five.
Okay, let's see here.
That's me, I'm cutting five, so who you got?
So you can't cut Rosa because she's pregnant. It'll go with Hornswoggle, Torito, as I sit here and flip through the WWE.com. I'm going to say Mark Henry, because he's leaving anyway, so don't feel as bad.
You don't feel as bad, yeah.
Don't feel as bad. You know, honestly, as much as I love him, Swagger and Fandango.
There you go.
I love Fandango to death, but it's like, there's just nothing going on with him.
I did mention last week, that I would, if I had to fire someone there, it would be Jack Swagger. That's my bold prediction. You are a WWE HR, and you must call up 5 people. Who would you call up? All right, let's do this one's easy. Sami Zayn, Bayley, Finn Balor, and Jordan and Gable.
Balor, Bayley, Cass, Enzo, and Carmella.
There you go. We'll skip that one for a moment. We'll go back to that one. For $100,000, would you live in a tiny house for a year? No.
No.
For $500,000, would you do so with Tim? Hell no.
Fuck no. Love you, Tim.
Who do you believe will rise to the number 2 company behind WWE, excluding NXT?
Nobody.
By default, Ring of Honor? By default, TNA?
The problem is you can't really compare it as a number 2 to WWE, because at this point, WWE is in a league of its own. The number 2 to WWE is NXT. Let's be really honest about that. With ROH and TNA being a not even close third and fourth. So it's WWE at this point is competing with itself, because there isn't another brand out there that can raise a challenge. Now, it would be interesting to see if New Japan can get a stronger foothold in the United States, and if Lucha Underground can continue to grow.
But they gotta get
what that would do.
But they gotta get a foothold here in the U.S. and they don't have that yet.
Yeah, but they have to get a foothold here in the U.S. and that's a long time coming. That's at least 2-3 years down the road. So right now there really isn't a close second to WWE.
What was the Brock's biggest accomplishment this year? Getting Seth Rollins on the show.
Yeah, Seth Rollins and Gerwig.net.
Ding.
Shameless plug.
What resolutions do you have each going into the new year? I don't know. Not to let stupid people impact my life as much.
I don't really make resolutions.
Neither do I. That's why I was like, oh, be less annoyed at things.
Clean my car more.
There you go. So that was.
You ask it, we answer it.
No, you don't get out of it.
Okay, go.
All right, so for Rock, because these are shots. Which team has a better record, the Falcons or the Eagles?
Not the Cowboys.
Who finished with a better record, the Phillies or the Braves?
Does it really matter? They both were awful.
Who has a better, well, to me it matters, but anyway, who has a better record, the entire NBA or the 76ers?
I don't know why this one's a shot. Everyone knows the Sixers are awful.
I think he's taking shots at every Philly team he can.
He didn't take one of the Flyers. That one's easier to take shots at. The Sixers, we know they have a plan. They tell you that we're going to be awful. I don't know what the problem is. Continue. I accept them being awful because they're going to get some good big men. So they have some good big men if they all pan out. So next.
Oh, and how many Super Bowls have the Eagles won?
Does it really matter that the Cowboys suck this year? You guys could get Chip Kelly. You guys want Chip Kelly? You could have him. He may be there. Hey, you can also get Tony Romo. He could be the savior. He can, not Tony Romo. Tim Tebow. You can have Tim Tebow if you really want.
Say they have Romo. They Romo have could get better.
He could get better. They're putting steel in him. He's got to be, they're putting steel in his shoulder to protect his shoulder from breaking. How about this? Have Tony Romo be backed up by Tim Tebow, because, your backup quarterbacks have sucked this year, so you could have Tim Tebow. He's available. Imagine that. Chip Kelly running the team with Tony Romo and Tim Tebow. How about them, Cowboys?
Yeah. And finally, who finished ahead of you in the fantasy football standings?
Everyone. I the answer I'm supposed to say is you did, because you beat me twice.
Yep.
But, you know, they weren't painful, dude. Like, if you really want to take a shot, one, you should be the one delivering the shot, and two, come up with a better shot. I'm just saying.
Point him. You're going to take shots. Take him yourself.
Or actually come up with a better shot. Because which team has a better record? Well, when your team is worse than those two teams, you really can't take the shot. I admit she had the better team, slightly, because they beat us. Now, Sunday. What Sunday happens is Eagles have to win Sunday, so next year the Eagles and the Falcons play. So we're all rooting for the Eagles on Sunday, because I don't want them to go to London.
I don't think anybody wants them to go to London. I'm winning them.
I don't want them to play in London. So yeah, that officially was.
You ask it, we answer it. It's Ask the Rack.
And that does it for the show.
That does it for the show. So I say we plug some stuff and get up on out of here.
Hope everyone has enjoyed hashtag Pop Goes the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, here at wildtalkradio.com, recradioshow.com, and gerbrick.net. You can follow this show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, subscribe to the YouTube channel at Rack Radio Show there as well. Website is rockradioshow.com. If you'd like to email us, it's contact@rackradioshow.com. Saturday Night Midnight-ish is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. When a celebrity dies, use the hashtag Blame Rob, and there's been many. He's getting them all in before the end of the year. It really feels that way. It's been... Oh, Roberto, you've had a year. You've killed a lot of people. Just saying.
I'm telling you, Rob, run.
Run. But at CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio returns for the new year, 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason Omega at WTR Sunday night on the Twitter. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything goes down on Monday Night Raw. And this Monday, who will be WWE Champion? Will be Roman Reigns or Sheamus? We'll discuss it 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, back to the normal show almost. We may have to supplement NXT with something. We're going to have to talk about it.
We'll figure it out.
I have an idea. Maybe.
Oh, God.
We'll see. So, again, you can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, or Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. I have all these plugs. Tune in, WildTalkRadioNetwork, Stitcher and iTunes. You can search WildTalkRadioNetwork or Rack Radio Show. Subscribe. Like it. Subscribe. Leave a comment. You know the deal. 5 stars or better. Well, I don't know if you can better. Just 5 stars. iTunes. Ding.
Comment, too. Leave us a nice comment.
That too. Your turn.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors and affiliates, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, WrestlingFigureWednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211, and our very fine friends over at Gerwick.net. So like I said at the top of the show, Happy New Year wherever you are. We hope it's safe. We hope it's fun. We hope everybody out there is healthy and you're having a great time. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay. We're going to get up on out of here because we're going to go have our own New Year, crack a little champagne, celebrate, party like it's 1999, all that good fun, happy stuff.
Party like it's 99.
Hey.
Oh. Raise the roof.
Right there.
Raise the roof. So,
both of us right there tells you exactly how old we are. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. Thanks for listening to Pop Goes the Rack, and we will see you in 2016. Bye.
It's all right. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright, baby.